إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, tonight inshallah we will have some reflections on Surah Nuh عليه الصلاة والسلام. Surah Nuh is the 71st surah. The total verses are 28 verses, and it was revealed during the Meccan period. This surah is devoted in its entirety to the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and his preaching of his message to his people. And this surah depicts every conscientious believer's jihad or struggle against falsehood, shirk, and blind following to the forefathers, and the resulting lack of all spiritual and moral values. Now the question is, who was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam? Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was the blank messenger of Allah. Fill in the blank. The first messenger of Allah. Now Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the first prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a difference between a prophet and a messenger. And we have explained earlier or in previous lectures about the difference between a prophet and a messenger. Now, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is also the second father of humanity. Now, who is the first father of humanity? Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, the question is, why was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam the second father of humanity? Everybody's gone. Yeah, so the whole of the earth was wiped away. The entire humanity was wiped away with the exception of Noah and his followers. These were after the punishment that befell them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only humans living on the surface of the earth. And this is why they were he was called the father the second father of humanity. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was mentioned 43 times in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very, very significant, because this book is unlike any other book. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention the name of Nuh one time, this is enough to draw our attention to this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his name 43 times. Definitely this is a reminder. Of course, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about any story in the Quran, this is not for the purpose of entertainment, rather for the purpose of drawing lessons, and for us in order to take an example of the earlier messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth distinguishing characteristic of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was that he blank. There is something very special about this prophet. Blank. Fill in the blank. He lived long time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in the Quran that the period of his mission was 950 years. 950 years mission in calling his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a long period, and this is something special about Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And finally, Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he was one of the Ulil Azmi min al-Rusul. This is the highest level of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these Ulil Azmi min al-Rusul were mentioned in the saying of Allah, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. These five messengers, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a very special and solemn covenant from them. So let's, inshallah, with this in mind, inshallah, let's start reading the surah, Surah Nuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nuh, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه أن أنذر قومك من قبل أن يأتيهم عذاب أليم قال يا قوم إني لكم نذير مبين أن يعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون. إنا أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه أن أنذر قومك من قبل أن يأتيهم عذاب أليم. Indeed, we sent Nuh to his people saying, warn your people before grievous punishment before them. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه said, as Imam Bukhari reported, that كان بين آدم ونوح عشرة قرون كلهم على الإسلام. Between the time of Adam and the time of Nuh, there were 10 centuries that followed the religion of Islam, Dinul Islam. So they were upon the correct guidance. They followed the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, during the time of Nuh, people started falling in shirk, in major shirk. And this type of shirk that the people of Nuh committed was caused by excessiveness, caused by exaggeration, over-exaggeration in respecting the righteous people and the learned people amongst them. See, this sounds very, very strange, that the source of their shirk was their excess in revering the people of righteousness and people of knowledge of their time. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. What was the mission? أَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Nuh said, O my people, I am but a plain warner to you, sent to tell you that you should worship Allah alone and be conscious of Him. Now do pay heed to me so that He may forgive you, some of your sins and grant you or delay you until a term known to Him alone. But indeed, when the term appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does come, it can never be put back if you but knew it. أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ وَيُؤَخِّرْكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجْلٍ مُسَمَّى إِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ إِذَا جَاءَ لَا يُؤَخَّرُ لَكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Nuh to remind the people of their duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we repeatedly said, that this was the basic mission of every prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of every messenger of Allah, to remind his people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And يَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ, follow the commands of Allah, submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاتَّقُوهُ, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abstain from the prohibitions of Allah. And ubudullah is from ibadah, and ibadah is inclusive of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and approves of, from the the speeches and actions, the outward and inward speeches and actions. So the source of ibadah is the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we have no way to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sanctioned except by referring to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if people do this, if people become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit to the will of Allah, what is in it for them? يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive for you your sins. Of course, here it says مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ, from or some of your sins. But some scholars, they say that this min here does not really mean some. So they say here the meaning is, if you worship Allah and be conscious of Him, Allah will forgive for you all your sins. So there is a difference between the scholars whether this means all your sins or some of your sins. Now, what this means? This means that the reward for those people who have taqwa is that and submit to the will of Allah, is that they be forgiven. Their sins will be wiped away for them. So for the messengers is one of the ways by which we can expiate our sins from us. It is it is what cleanses for us our sins. And this is not the only thing. There are many actions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown us as mukaffirat. They wipe away the sins. Like for example, as-salat, salat al-khams, as you know, the five daily prayers, as-siyam, jum'ah, salat al-jum'ah, all these righteous actions, including wudu, the wudu that we perform before the salah, all these righteous actions wipe away the sins of the person. Not only to say astaghfirullah. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ وَيُؤَخِّرْكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجْلٍ مُسَمًّى وَيُؤَخِّرْكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجْلٍ, and he will delay you to a term that's only known to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? What does this mean? وَيُؤَخِّرْكُمْ إِلَىٰ, he will delay you. If you follow the Prophet, Allah, number one, will forgive your sins. Number two, He will delay you. Delay your punishment. Okay. This is one of the positions that Mufassini has took. But the other position is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expand for you the span of your life. Give you more time to live, okay? And the question is: are we saying that the worship of Allah and His taqwa is a cause for having our lifespan expand? As a matter of fact, if we go back to the evidences, we can find two sets of evidences. One set of evidences that tells us that taqwallah and other righteous deeds, they really are a cause for an the expansion of our sustenance and our span of life. But there are other set of evidences that shows that every person has an appointed time and that is not subject to any increase or decrease or cannot be put forward or backward. Some of the evidences of the first time is the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من سره أن يبسط له في رزقه وينسع له في أثره فليصل رحمه. Whoever desires that his sustenance and his lifespan be expanded, let him have good relationship with his kin and kith. So maintaining good relationship with close relatives is, according to this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a cause for our sustenance to increase and our lifespan to increase. And another hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his statement, "Silatul rahimi wa husnul khuluqi wa husnul jiwari ya'mirani diyari wa yazidani fil a'mar." That maintaining good relationship with our kith and kin, and good manners, and being dutiful and kind to our neighbors, are causes that will cause us to prosper in this life and also increase our lifespan. So these two hadith clearly state that there are certain actions that one can do that would increase his sustenance and will increase his lifespan on this earth. However, the other set of evidences is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَخُونَ سَعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَخْدِمُونَ. If their appointed time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come, none can ever put this backward or forward. That's it. The matter is not subject to negotiation or change. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's prescribed and appointed time comes, that's it. No one can do for it. And also in Sahih is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Ummul Mu'mineen Hubaybah radiyallahu Habiba radiyallahu anha qalat, she said, Allahumma amti'ni bi zawji Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa bi abi Sufyan wa bi akhi Muawiyah. Faqala lahu ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laqad sa'alti ajalan madruba wa arzaqan maqsuma, lan yuqaddama shay'un minha wa lan yu'akhkhar. This clearly states that when Im Habiba radiyallahu anha, she said that, "Oh Allah, allow me to enjoy the life of my husband Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and my father Abu Sufyan and my brother Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhum wa sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told her that you have supplicated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for certain appointed times and certain measured sustenance that cannot be changed. They are not subject to change. Now the question is, how can we understand this? And whenever we have these types of hadith, of course, we cannot discard a group of hadith. We have, if the hadith is authentic and we are able to combine between all the hadith, we have the obligation not to reject any hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the method of the fuqaha. They don't discard any of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if there is a possibility that we can understand them in light of one another. And the matter is very simple. Okay, the matter is very simple because yes, the qadr of Allah or the time that is appointed is fixed, and yes, it is written. But if the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done something that causes his life span to be expanded or his sustenance to be increased, then this is also written by qadr. So both are written, the fixed appointed time and the action that the person does, exactly what we do in seeking our sustenance. The fact that our sustenance is written does not prevent us from setting out every day from home and seeking our livelihood, going to our offices or our businesses and conducting our businesses. Nobody stay at home and say, "Oh, my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written my rizq for me." Okay. Similarly, in this case, our sustenance is written, and the means and the causes through which we are going to attain this sustenance is written too. And when it comes to our lifespan, and the same thing applies. So the lifespan is written, and also the means or the causes that we follow in order to expand our lifetime is also written. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write that so and so is destined to live 60 years, and he is destined to make dua to increase it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his dua and he will live for 70 years. Okay? So both the dua, the means is written, and the final outcome is written. So everything is by qadr. The qadr is written, and the cause that and both are written exactly. So the illness is a qadr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we cure it with a medicine by the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this matter understood? Because it's important matter. So the bottom line here in this ayah is that there are two rewards for the people who are righteous, and this is the motivation that Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam is giving to his people, that if you believe, number one, Allah will forgive all your sins, and number two, Allah will bless your lifespan and increase it for you and allow you to enjoy your life in this dunya. Inna ajal Allah idha ja'a la yu'akhkharu law kuntum ta'lamun. Indeed, when the term appointed by Allah does come, it can never be put back if you but knew it. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam says, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. And again, this is a lesson for every believer, for every caller to Allah, for every person who is in the Islamic field, for every person who may complain sometimes because he doesn't find from people the response that he likes. Okay, Allah, the example of Prophet Noah is the true model. Noah, he said, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. Nuh said, O my Lord, indeed I have been calling my people night and day, but my call has only caused them to flee further and further away. And indeed, whenever I called them that you may forgive them, they put their fingers into their ears and wrapped themselves up in their garments and grew persistent in their refusal and became yet more arrogant in their false pride. And indeed, I called unto them openly, and indeed I preached to them in public, and I spoke to them secretly in private. So basically, Prophet Nuh والسلام, did not leave any way and any means that is beneficial in calling his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he followed. So he said that I called them day and night, and this call, instead of making them accept the da'wah, it caused them to flee further and further away, further and further away. And every time that I used to call them, they put their fingers into their ears. Why do they do that? What would they do that? So they don't hear him. They don't want to hear him. And they cover themselves by their garments. Why do they do that? They don't want to see him. So they don't want to hear him. They don't want to see him. And this illustrates the extent of the arrogance and the rejection of the people of Nuh to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. That in spite of him doing his utmost effort in calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of him being compassionate to them, because he was, as reported in other places in the Quran, he said, "Inni akhafu alaykum azab yawmin azim. Inni akhafu alaykum azab yawmin aleem. I fear upon you the punishment of an awesome day or a severe day." So he showed compassion toward them. He showed that he feared the bad consequences on them. He showed his remorse towards them. Yet, instead of them at least giving him the chance to express and present evidences for them, they did everything to block his message. They did not want to hear, they did not want to even see him alayhi salatu wasalam. وأصروا واستكبروا استكبار. They even said, يا نوح قد جادلتنا فأكثرت جدالنا فأتنا بما تعيدنا إن كنت من الصادقين. They said, نوح, you really are argumentative. You really argue a lot with us. So just let your Lord bring about whatever punishment you are warning us against. So this is the level of indifference and carelessness that they reach, and this shows how stubborn they were and how difficult the mission of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was. It was not for one day or 40 days or 4 months or 4 years. It was not for 60 years. It was not for 100 years. It was for 950 years that they rejected and rejected and rejected. And even those who responded to him were very few in number. Just imagine, dear brothers and sisters, especially those people who work in the masjid or work for the service of this community or other communities, or those who volunteer. Many times we get frustrated with the least amount of work for da'wah and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times we avoid voluntary works. Many times we are not ready to help, or we start to do something, but at the first sign of failures, people give up, and people say, "Halak al-nas," that there is no goodness in all people, okay? Because they did not find the ideal response from them. The moment they called them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they started calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this there is a lesson for them. ثم إني دعوتهم جهارا ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إسرارا. He followed every time way. He called them during the day, he called them during the night, he called them one on one, he called them publicly, he called them secretly, he did his best, okay? And there is a major lesson in here, dear brothers and sisters, that every person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should learn. And that the obligation that is upon every person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to convey the message. And the guidance is in the hand of Allah. We can never guide people in a sense that we cannot open up their hearts and make them accept the guidance. This type of guidance is only in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This type of guidance can only be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even a prophet can guide in that sense. So because the condition of all the hearts are in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no prophet, no matter how righteous he is, and no matter of the rank he is in, he cannot open the hearts of the people. So this is one of the principles that all the people who guide to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to keep in mind, that their intelligence, their wisdom, okay, are just means. They may be causes for success and they may not. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the best example. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the most intelligent people. They are the most learned people. They are the most pious people. That they are the most knowledgeable people. Yet, Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam called his people for 950 years and only a few people responded to his call. We cannot say that he was harsh in his way of calling to Allah. We cannot say, because he is infallible. He is the messenger of Allah. So we have to keep in mind that the person may do the best of what he can do, and be wise and be gentle with people and compassionate, yet he may not achieve the desired result. But would this mar his position in the sight of Allah? Would this diminish his rank in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, not at all. And the example for this is Prophet Nuh. He is not a prophet, he is a messenger. And he is not like any other messenger. He is among the highest levels of messenger. He is from Ulil Azmi Minar Rusul. So this is an example. So Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, his call to his people did not really bear many fruits. Okay, his call to his own son was not successful. The call of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, Ibrahim, to his father, did not bear fruits. The call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his uncle did not bear any fruits. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ. You do not guide those whom you love, in a sense that you cannot open their hearts and make them accept the deen and the da'wah. It is this type of guidance in the hand of Allah. In other places of the Quran, we notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributed guidance to Muhammad. He said, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. You indeed guide to the straight path. So here we have two types of guidance. There is hidayatul bayan and hidayatul tawfiq. Hidayatul bayan, the guidance in a sense of clarifying the message to the people. This can be attributed to the prophets, scholars, any person who is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these people can guide the people in a sense that they can clarify the message for them, show them the path to guidance, the path to paradise, the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the hidayatul tawfiq, the other type of hidayah that we are talking about, can be only attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only one who can guide, in a sense that he opened up the heart of the people to accept the deen. This should be in our mind. This should be kept in our mind. However, this should not be a justification for laziness and miscalculation based on the fact that the guidance is in the hand of Allah. No. This means that we should do our best. We should plan. We should follow every means that is within our ability. We should use any measure that is accessible to us in order to call people to us. We have to use all outlets that we have in order to mobilize people and bring them to the masjid, bring them back to the masjid. However, if we fail, then we can say that the guidance is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a wrong way to understand this type of guidance and correct way. The correct way is to do your best and know that you will never have any control in the heart of anybody. And the other way is to just sit still and be lazy and not do anything and say the matter is in the hand of Allah, He guides whom He will. Okay? Wallahu ta'ala alam. So this type of guidance then cannot be the criterion by which we can judge the success of a sheikh or a scholar or the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, we have to pursue all the means of da'wah, and we should do, and you should not neglect the method of calling people with wisdom and with good exhortation, because the guidance is in the hand of Allah. No, we have to follow and apply all the manners and etiquettes that are specified in the Quran and the Sunnah about calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the matter in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance in the hand of Allah, because, and this should be a belief, firm belief in our heart, because وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تُؤْمِنَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No soul can believe but by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All we can do is to show the way, to call, okay, and the rest is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nuh, was saying in these verses that he did his best, he called his people, and his call did only increase them in distancing themselves further and further from the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even after he showed them the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proofs of his message, the truthfulness of his message. And this is the case when a messenger present the proofs of his mission that is given to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people are divided into two groups. The proofs, the group that these proofs increase them in the iman, and the other group that these proofs only increase them in dalal, in going further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتْهُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَى رِجْسِهِمْ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the effect of a revelation, of receiving a new revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believers increase in their iman, and those in whose heart there is illness, there is disease, they only increase in riches, in impurity in their heart, and they die as disbelievers. Then Nuh said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نَهَارًا. And I said, ask your Lord for forgiveness, ask your Lord to forgive your sins, for indeed He is all forgiven. He will send rain from the sky upon you in continuing showers, and will give you increase in wealth and children, and provide for you gardens, and provide for you rivers. So all these rewards are world rewards for what? For seeking the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some of the benefits of istighfar, and there are more benefits for istighfar. Again, how many benefits are mentioned in this ayah? Six. Okay, let's count them, inshallah. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Continuous rain. And rain is all good, because people can't eat, can't drink, can't survive without water. And so this is the source of their survival and the survival of their cattle and animals. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا يُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. Wealth, more wealth. So those people are complaining of the economic situation of Michigan. Here is the solution. The solution in seeking is still far. Those who are laid off, those who are looking for new jobs, those who are looking for better jobs, here is the solution guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you seek the forgiveness of Allah, Allah will increase you in wealth. Okay. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. More children. Okay. And the children are the joy of the person's life. Okay. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. Beautiful gardens. Gardens that you enjoy their fruits and you enjoy their beauty. Because gardens are beauty. When you have gardens of fruits and different types of trees and vegetations, they are one enjoy their beauty and also enjoy their food. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And he will make rivers for you, provide you for with rivers again, so that you may drink, you may irrigate your gardens and irrigate or give drink for your animals. How many? Five, right? Six? Innahu kan, yes? Okay. We're talking about the worldly. Okay. Fine. We have four, five rewards. Again, this to motivate. And this also a lesson for the caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To motivate. Number one, we learned that one should do his best and exhaust all avenues in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we are learning that one should motivate the people, show them what's in it for them, okay? That they will enjoy more life and they will have all these worldly rewards. In addition, they will have eternal after we finish, inshallah, okay? Just keep it, save it, and after we finish. And they will in addition, they will enjoy eternal bliss in the hereafter. So this is again, it is one of the principles that istighfar, seeking the forgiveness of Allah, is a cause for more sustenance, for having more sustenance and more good. This is mentioned in several ayat of the Quran. This is how well established this fundamental and this principle is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in twice in Surah Hud and once in Surah Al-A'raf and here in Surah Nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Hud, وَأَنِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّتُوا إِلَيْهِ مَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَعًا حَسَنًا. He will allow you to enjoy yourself if you seek forgiveness of Allah. And again in Surah Nuh, وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send rain from the sky upon you, okay, مِدْرَارًا, in continuous showers. وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتْكُمْ. He will increase you in power. Okay, so you don't need really a lot of supplements, they call them, or vitamins, multivitamins. This is how you can be stronger, especially those of you who exceeded or 40 years old, because after 41 start going down. So this is the way to be stronger. Okay, it is to seek the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever desires more sustenance, the solution is seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoting Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam for us. Then Nuh said, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا أَلَمْ تَرَوْا كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ بِسَاطًا لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. You see, what is the matter with you that you are not conscious of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while He has created every one of you in successive stages? Do you not see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created seven heavens in layers and has set up within them the moon as a light reflected, and set up the sun as a radiant lamp? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused you to go out on the earth in gradual growth, and thereafter He will return you to it in death, and then He will bring you forth from it in resurrection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the earth as wide expanse for you, so that you might walk thereon on spacious pathways. So again, after He shook them by this major مَالَكُمْ لَا تُرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا, He mentioned the different signs that chose the infinite ability and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that shows the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that lead the person to believing in Him. So after saying مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ, what is the matter with you? Why don't you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dealing of someone whom you should honor and respect? Tawqir here is التعظيم. So ما لكم لا تعاملون الله معاملة من تعظمون. How come you don't deal with Allah the dealing of someone whom you deify? Al-Hasan رحمة الله عليه said in this ayah, commenting on this ayah, ما لكم لا تعرفون لله حقا ولا تشكو. What is the matter with you? Why don't you recognize the right of Allah upon you and show gratitude to Him? Mujahid, he said, commenting on this ayah, what is the matter with you that you are so indifferent, so careless concerning the grandeur of your Lord? Ibn Zayd said, commenting on this ayah, how come you don't recognize the right for Allah to be obeyed by you? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَعْرِفُونَ لِلَّهِ حَقَّ عَفَمًا. How come you do not appreciate the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the right of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course, these are different statements from our precious predecessors explaining this ayah. But is there any contradiction between them? Or they can integrate with one another and provide us a clearer meaning of the ayah, because all of their statements revolve around one thing, that had you deified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognized His right and estimated Him with the estimation due to Him, you would have believed in His oneness, you would have obeyed Him, you would have shown gratitude to Him, because the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in accordance of how much one deify and revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much one venerate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the scholars, they say here, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. How come you do not tarjun? Tarjun here, they say it's fear. How come you do not fear? And like the other saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ مَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا يعني لَا يَخَافُونَ حِسَابًا. So here the meaning becomes, مَا لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْقَوْمُ لَا تَخَافُونَ عَظَمَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُلْطَانَهُ وَلَا تَخَافُونَ مِنْ بَأْسِ اللَّهِ وَانْتِقَامَهُ. وانتقامه. What is the matter with you, O my people, that you don't fear the grandeur and the greatness of Allah and His authority, and you do not fear His punishment and His revenge? So this first ayah, okay, in this specific dialogue, is moving for the hearts and the minds of people. And then after he moved them and shook them, he started to remind them of signs that should submit and make them submit to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be obeyed and must be worshipped alone. He told them, وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا, while He has created every one of you in successive stages. What does it mean? What do we mean by this? خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. Yeah, مُطْفَى عَلَقَى, from droplet of sperm, and then alaqa, and then mudgha. These stages that every infant passes through, the different stages that every infant passes through in the womb of his mother. This is one of the interpretations for this chorus. The second one is, these stages refers to different the different faces in the span life of the person. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min da'afin, thumma ja'ala min ba'di da'afin quwwa, thumma ja'ala min ba'di quwwatin da'afan wa shay'a. These are different stages that Allah created you out of weakness. Then He made after this weakness strength, and then He made after this strength weakness again. So it talks about the different phases of the life of every person, that he starts weak and then he grows stronger and then he becomes weak again. These are the different stages that Allah is talking about. However, a third position or interpretation for the scholars say that this ayah is talking, as a matter of fact, about the differences of the manners of people, the understandings of people, and the tastes of people. People are different. Okay, some people are intelligent, some people are not. Some people are tall, some are not. Some people are good manners, have good manners, some they don't. Some people are faithful, some are not. Some people are good, some people are bad. Some people are generous, some people are thieves. Some people they devour the wealth of the orphans, and some people they sponsor orphans. So, basically, this ayah is talking about the different shapes and types of people. Okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you in different shapes and types. So, if somebody talk to you and you talk to him and you feel that he is not understanding you and you don't understand him, and you say, Subhanallah, waqad khalaqakum atwara, this applies to the same thing, that people are different. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, this ayah can bear all these meanings together, that it refers to different spaces, whether it is in the womb of the person's mother, or in the lifespan of the person, or it talks about the differences between the manners, the qualities, the characteristics, and the skills, the abilities of people. So it can apply to all of this. So he is reminding them of all these, and all of this are one. All of this are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is reminding them of the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that he brought them from nothingness, brought them from that to existence. And this is something that really should move every person. And he said, وجعل القمر فيهن نورا, and he has set up within them the moon as a light reflected. Light. And as the moon is a sign, the sun is a sign. The moon also passes through phases. Okay, so in the middle of the month, it's slightly different than the beginning of the month, and so on and so forth. And everything is measured precisely. Okay, all these phases are, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَ كُلْعُرْفٍ الْقَدِيمِ. So, any person who ponder over the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this leads him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greatness, wisdom, infinite knowledge, and leads him obviously to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا, and Allah has caused you to grow out of the earth in gradual growth. What does this refer to? Any answer? سؤال, ما معنى والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا؟ تفضل.
أول خط من التراب ثاني شيء من البدن بيدخل من الأرض فواكه وكذا فبدأ يسمى.
So you prepared before you come?
No.
Exactly. So Allah created Adam from dirt. This refers to this, the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he created from Adam his descendants. So we are basically from the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, "Inna Allah qabada qabdatan min jami'i al-ardi fa khalaqa minha Adam." Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a grip from the whole of the earth. So in us, you see, in the humans, there is all elements of the earth. All the elements of the earth are distributed to all humans. Okay. فجاءوا على قدر ذلك فمنهم الأبيض والأسود ودون ذلك ومنهم الأحمر والأصفر. So you find people different. Okay, because some of them are white, some of them are black, some of them are red, some of them are yellow. So this, according to some scholars, refers to this, the creation of Adam from earth. And others, they say that وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتُكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ النَّبَاتِ, which means Allah has caused the earth to grow vegetations for you. Okay? But this is weak because of what follows. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ بَاتَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا إِخْرَاجًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you to grow out of the earth in gradual growth, and thereafter He will return you to it in death. So this shows that this refers, the first part of the ayah refers to creation, and the second part refers to death, and what comes after is resurrection again. And Allah has and then He will bring you forth from it in resurrection. Now, any question? Do you have any question?
Yes.
Okay, let me finish this this portion, and we will stop here, inshallah. This is going to be two parts, inshallah. Today we'll have finished our first part, and next Saturday we'll finish the second part. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَاللَّهُ جَعْلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ بِسَاطًا, and Allah has made the earth as wide expanse for you. He prepared you, prepared the earth, he paved the earth, he made it suitable for you to live on it. so that you might walk thereon on spacious pathways. So he made it suitable for you to live and to commit on. And again, these are two other signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what was response of the people of Nuh, and what was the punishment of the people of the Nuh, and what was the time of the sin of the people of the Nuh, and how this sin relate to the current condition of our Ummah, all these are going to be answered in the next lecture, inshaAllah. And we stop at here, inshaAllah. And any person who has any question, may forward it. يلا تفضل يا
ابو عبد الله. سيدنا نوح عليه الصلاه والسلام الاب البشري الثاني، هل معناها ان جميع البشر ذريته ذات اولاده، ولا وذي الذين امنوا مع بعض؟
This is one of the things that we will learn, inshallah, that mainly were saved were his descendants, okay, and his those who followed him, with the exception of his son and wife. So he was in the position of the father of the second father of humanity. You see, he was the main person alive after all this wiping away the rest of humanity. Okay, and therefore he is called the second father of humanity. Allah knows best. Allah Ta'ala alam. The question is Nuh stayed 950 years calling his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was he calling the same and the very people, or he was calling generations of people? And I say Allah knows best. But we know for sure that the lifespan of the early generations of the descendants of Adam were a lot longer than our span life. So it could be just one generation now. Okay.
You said that this prophet name is Nuh?
Yes. Nuh. Nuh. Nuh.
Nuh.
Nuh.
Nuh.
Nuh.
Nur,
not Nur, no, yeah, Nur.
Okay,
Nun, Waw, Ha. Nun, Waw, Ha. In English, is N O O R. Nur. No, no, no. I'm spelling it as it sounds. Okay. Yeah. I'm saying it as it sounds in Arabic. Okay, it's Nur. Okay, but in Arabic it sounds like N O O H.
Yeah, I thought you said Nur. Like,
no, no.
I didn't
yeah.
say Al
Nur. Okay.
I thought you
meant Nur. Zakallah. Okay, my brother Muaz here. Yeah. Ibrahim and Nuh, Nuh was before Ibrahim alayhi salatu
wa salam. There was a program I saw and it said that the Iceman, it was breaking away during the ice age. The giant iceberg slid across North America, and that's how we have the gaps in our continent that have the like Lake Erie and Lake Michigan. We don't know exactly when the prophets lived, right? But is it possible that they lived thousands of years ago, hundreds of thousands of years ago, because the Ice Age was several thousand years ago? And that flood, there was a flood that went across North America. Is it possible that he went from Eastern Russia over to North America,
mm-hmm.
and people there were flooded in the state, flooded at the iceberg?
Okay, thank you for this good question, inshallah. And the answer is, the question was long. So I'm going to give a general answer, okay? Because my brother here was referring about certain scientific theories, and the answer is that it comes in an advice to adhere to principles that protect our deen. Okay, scientific discoveries, okay, if we rely on them completely, okay, we may shake our faith. Not because there is a contradiction between science and faith, rather our religion is very compatible with science, but it is compatible with well-established fact. And nowadays we find, for example, that decided that the age of the pyramids in Egypt was such and such years old, and all of a sudden with a new study we find that there was a mistake of 10,000 years or so and so. So there is the mistake of error of in thousands of years just because of a new discovery. In the 80s they had studies about garlic and the fact that it helps the heart, and this was common, okay, because there was a study that was made about the garlic and how it's good for your heart. A study that was conducted just maybe 10 months ago said that there is no bearing whatsoever for the garlic on your heart. Just if you live in the 90s, okay, you see people, this is a well-established fact. So this is why, number one, we need to differentiate between well-established facts and theories, okay. Many times, just recently already, they discovered that there was a big fabrication that was done in UK to prove the theory of evolution, okay. And again, this was discovered because there were scientists who wanted to prove people for this, and they fabricated something. So the point is, if we rely on the discoveries of the scientific discoveries that are not well established, they add the well established authority of the Quran, for example, or the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then this will confuse us, okay. This is when we talk about ayat, these are facts, okay. And this is very important to bear in mind. Now, the other point, very important point, is that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can, many times we try to find the scientific support for a certain event that took place in that is mentioned in the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can tell, for example, the earth to command the sky to rain, okay, and just continuously until the whole earth flood without any scientific support for this that we can see. Just Allah can tell the earth, just be drowned, and it will be drowned. Okay, so if you are to connect, especially if we don't have a well-established fact. Well-established fact, for example, that the earth is elliptic. This well-established, we know that, okay? So the matter should be as clear as this. It's not, there should be any room for questioning that fact. And then we can see the connection. Otherwise, Allah knows. I mean, Allah Ta'ala. But yes, Ahmad. Thank you. cannot hear you, Muhammad. Yes. Yeah, all the prophets, they have. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a general rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every prophet was supported by a miracle to prove that he is a truthful messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuh has ayat, and all of the other prophets have ayat, miracles to prove that. Of Nuh? Nuh, yes, Fadda. What? Yeah, this is the supplication, that this is one of the ayat that building the yani Nuh did not yani building the ark, you see, in his time, in the middle of a desert where people saw him, what this man is doing. Okay, so yes, in general he is supported by miracles. Allah Ta'ala, yes.
His understanding here is that there is absolutely no conflict between what's in the Quran and what's in the Sunnah. And if there seems to be, there appears to be a conflict between the Quran and the Sunnah, there is a huge lack in our understanding. So what do you advise people that read the Quran and the break some
hadith
and say there is a conflict there. So what do they need to do in this case?
They didn't need to seek knowledge, because with the level of our knowledge right now, we are not qualified to really read and understand the Quran and read and understand the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are very simple answers to what seem contradictory in our minds. Okay, so the matter requires more and more knowledge. You will never find contradictions, okay, between the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, you find compatibility, integration. Okay, beautiful, yani beautiful compatibility between the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Another quick question. When you said that there are six benefits for istighfar. And istighfar is just the fact of saying astaghfirullah when you come, that is, you get these benefits by just saying astaghfirullah.
Not only by just saying, by meaning, yani by you see, istighfar, we are seeking the forgiveness of Allah and turning to Allah in repentance. This implies that we feel the sorrow. This in our heart, this implies that we have a determination not to commit the sin again. A promise that we are going to behave and be on the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is, we are seeking the forgiveness of Allah, al-maghfirah, and more if the maghfirah include wiping away the sins and shielding us from the consequences of these sins. Two things are included in the mafia. So this is what we seek. And when we seek it, we have to have a something, and we have to be driven by sincere intention and remorse, feeling of remorse and sorrow for having committed the sin, an intention not to do it again, with the known conditions of repentance. Okay, and this is one form of seeking istighfar. There are other forms, okay, of seeking istighfar, and the best of them is the saying, the form that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that it is sayyidul istighfar. Allahumma in anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala ahdika wa ahdika mastata'at a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayhi wa abu'u bi dhanbi faghfirli fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Inshallah, we may need to explain this dua. This includes a lot. There is a lot of benefits in this dua. Allah Ta'ala.
Anything known about the life of Rasulullah?
Nuh about whom? She was a disbeliever, yes. She died as disbeliever, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. Now, yes.
Noah had a wife that died as a
disbeliever. Yes. And again, this is this supported principle that we address, that the guidance is in the hands of Allah. So the Prophet cannot guide the dearest to him. In a sense, he cannot open their heart or make them accept by their heart the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib? Okay, Ismail, I'm sorry, Ismail.
Who is more knowledgeable, the Prophet's or the Messenger's?
The highest, the best are the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we assume that they have more knowledge than the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Now. Yes.
What I just heard, the messengers and the prophets, is a difference.
There is a difference. Every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. A prophet, both the prophet and messenger receive revelation. Both the prophet and messenger must be male, however, the messenger is sent to with a new legislation to non-believing people. Okay. And prophet is sent to people who not necessarily with new laws, but and to agreeing people who believe in the message. Like for example, the different prophets of the children of Israel. Okay, they were all following the same Sharia, the same law system, but they were so they were sent to people who believe in the deen. Allah Ta'ala.
So, Ismail,
did you understand the confusion? Okay. Brother Abu Ali is just drawing attention to some important point, that we should not think that by gaining knowledge we can reach at one time to a degree of a prophet. You know that, because prophets are decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not a course that one follows and in the end you graduate as a prophet. You understand? So and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the seed of all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm sorry.
Ghulam Ahmed missed that class.
You
thought he graduated.
Ghulam, yes. Many. Who? Ulul Azm are five. It is Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's inshallah stop here.